We're on the subject of praying in tongues, and today we want to talk about the different giftings of tongues that are in the church world that are available from God, and help handle some of the confusion that people have misunderstanding about how tongues work. Now, you're listening to me, which means you're curious about tongues. You believe it's there, it's available. We've done a lot of teaching on this topic of tongues lately. But today we want to focus on the different giftings of tongues. Now, there's four aspects of tongues. The first one is your personal prayer language. Now, that is available to every believer the moment they're saved, to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, and to have a tool, a practice of praying in a heavenly language. And it does so much for us. And you can do as much as you want, when you want. The others are giftings, which are the Holy Spirit working through you to help other people. And those rules are different. Those are selected by the Holy Spirit. He chooses who it operates through, when it operates. You cannot make it happen. You cannot tell the Holy Spirit what to pray through you. You can only make yourself available to pray and let Him pray through you. One question people have is, well, am I trying to control the Holy Spirit by praying in tongues when I want? Doesn't He have to tell me when to pray in tongues? He's God. Who am I to tell Him? Well, we see in Scripture the practice of prayer. It's when you pray. You choose when you pray. We see in Scripture the practice of fasting. You choose when you fast. God won't just shut your mouth and make you not eat. Oh, I want that pizza so bad, but I just can't make myself eat it. No, you get to choose these things. And so we understand that the Holy Spirit's God. Time is not a problem for Him. Availability is not a problem for Him. He's always available for you and for me individually as much as we want. And His role in our life is to be a teacher, a guide, and to help us to grow in the Spirit. So, yes, you're not controlling the Holy Spirit. You're allowing Him to do what He loves to do when you choose to take the time to pray in tongues. And that's your personal prayer language. But there are times where He'll come upon you and ask you to participate in helping other people. And those three giftings we know are the gift of tongues for interpretation. That's selective, only on certain people, and that's for a church service. The other one is tongues for intercession. That's when the Holy Spirit changes your tongue, and when you're praying in tongues, comes upon you and begins to pray for another person. You may never know what that is or who it is. You cannot tell the Holy Spirit, I'm going to pray for my spouse, and I'm going to pray in tongues, and Holy Spirit, you pray for them. It doesn't work that way. The gift of tongues for intercession is when He comes upon you and changes your tongue to pray for someone specific. And that can happen often, depending where you are in your prayer life. And the third one is the tongues, which is a sign for the unbeliever. So we're going to look at that a little bit today and hopefully educate ourselves on some answers we can give people who are confused. In my early years, I was told many times, hey, I'm glad you pray in tongues, Alan, your church prays in tongues, but you know, it's not for everyone. The Scripture says, do all pray in tongues? And it's a rhetorical question. And we've learned that. In fact, let's start there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 30. Do all have the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? So we've learned that that is talking about the gift of tongues for a church service with an interpretation. Because the goal in that is to edify other people outside of yourself. The goal of your personal prayer language is to edify your own life. And that's when you choose when you pray. But the gift of tongues for a church service, which always has an interpreter, is as the Holy Spirit chooses and wills on certain people. The next verse we'll go to is in chapter 14, 1 Corinthians. We'll start in verse 6. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, That there is talking about your personal prayer language. What shall it profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? So he's simply saying when you pray in tongues, the tongues edifies you, and what you're edified with, the knowledge, the truth, the revelation that is built in your spiritual man, now can be taught to others in their language. But your personal prayer language does not edify others just by praying in tongues in their presence. And that was what he's correcting in the church here. Verse 7. Everything without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will they be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? And he's saying here that everything from God has a purpose. And he's using instruments, different instruments. He mentions the flute, the harp, and the trumpet here. They have specific sounds and they're played a specific way. When you play a flute, my daughter used to play flute. She would blow on the flute and use her hand to cover the holes and beautiful music would come out. But you cannot use that rule of blowing on a flute and switch over to a harp. A harp is, you have to strum it. It's a different kind of instrument. And if you try to blow on a harp to make it sound, it's not going to work. And same as a trumpet. A trumpet in war, they would have the armies and the trumpet would make one sound and the whole army would know what to do. And so that's a different instrument. It's blown and played differently than the flute. And so you can't mix and match. And that's what Paul's trying to say, is you're getting everything confused under tongues in the church when you're trying to mix the rules, the instruments differently. My son, he plays in an orchestra. He's in college right now, university for music. And I watch him bounce around from different instruments throughout the orchestra's performance and play different things, and they all have different rules. And beautiful music is made when they're all played the right way. And the power of praying in tongues in the church, both in your personal prayer life and in the giftings being available to the church, makes beautiful music that can change people's lives. So we're going to assign, just for our understanding sake, the flute, we're going to call that your personal prayer language. You have to play that a certain way. When you pray in tongues, you play, it's like playing the flute. But the gift for interpretation, the gift for intercession, the gift for the unbeliever of tongues is a different instrument than the flute. That's the harp and the trumpet. And so Paul here is trying to bring order and understanding to the practice of praying in tongues. So we've looked in the past, so I won't take too long on the gift for interpretation. The gift for interpretation is explained here in chapter 14 as he's talking about tongues, that without an interpreter in a church service, you're not edifying anyone else. And he equals the gift of tongues for a church service. And what that looks like, if you've never seen it, is sometimes in a church service, someone, the Holy Spirit will come upon a person and they'll stand up and give a loud tongue and you don't know what it says. It's a heavenly language. And then somebody else is given the gift to interpret it. So as they stand and interpret in our understanding, in our language, we can understand what God was saying in the tongue. And so it's not a translation, it's an interpretation. And so it's saying, this is what God said in that tongue. And that is equal to a prophecy. It edifies the church people around you. That is a gifting. The rules of the gifting are different than the rules for your personal prayer language. You cannot make it come upon you. I've seen people try to make it come upon them. They'll stand up and they'll give a tongue and then no one will interpret. And because it didn't come upon them, it was them trying to make something happen. And I've seen many people embarrassed trying to give a tongue. One man I know, a good man, good-hearted guy, but really just wanted to be recognized as spiritual. He was an associate pastor at a church, and he would always, at the worst time, it would be right when the worship is going, and when if the worship had a moment of quietness, people would be connecting to God, he would stand up and give a great big loud tongue, and it was loud and bold, and then he would wait for someone to interpret, and people wouldn't interpret, no one was there to interpret. So then he would start interpreting it himself, trying to make something nice to save his pride. So you want to be able to know when it's God and when it's not God, just like a prophecy. You can make it sound spiritual, but if it's not from God, we only want things in the church that are from God. Revelation, prophecy, truth, knowledge. We only want those things from God, including the gift of tongues and the gift of interpreter that goes with it. That's how you know that when he says in verse 30 of chapter 12, do all speak with tongues? Question mark. The answer is no. But the next question is, do all interpret? So that's because there's an interpreter beside the gift of tongues, that tells you that is the gift of tongues for interpretation, not your personal prayer language. Everyone can pray in tongues if they choose to submit to being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Everyone has access to the personal prayer language. But the gift for interpretation, let's look here in verse 1, chapter 14. Pursue love and desire spiritual giftings, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, I've heard people say, well, you know, hey, I'm glad you speak in tongues, but I choose to pursue or desire the gifts of prophesying. Well, that's simply meaning in a church service, prophecy is better than personal prayer language because you're there to edify people outside of yourself. And a prophecy means you're speaking words in the moment directly from God to the people. You are a vessel that God speaks through to speak his heart, his mind in that moment for that church. And he who speaks in a tongue, verse 2, does not speak to man but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Well, this is talking about your personal prayer language. When you pray in tongues, you're edifying your spiritual man, your spiritual mind with truth, with mysteries, ancient knowledge. Eventually, when that comes forward in your life, you can begin to teach it in understanding and edify the church with what you were edified with. Verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. So in a church setting, you want prophecy. Your goal is to edify other people, not to lift yourself up or edify yourself. But he who speaks in a tongue, verse 4, edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. So I want all of you to speak in tongues, but in church service, I want you to prophesy because you want to edify the people, not just lift yourself up. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. So there's the gifting. So in a church service, I don't want you from the pulpit praying in tongues for 30 minutes and looking at people like they should be being blessed because of your presence or thinking you're spiritual. You're not edifying them, you're just edifying yourself, and you should do that at home. But in a church service, we want prophecy, we want teaching, edification. We want knowledge from God to come forward. But also, if you do have a tongue, a gifted tongue come upon you, then the interpreter turns that into equally a prophecy. God speaking to the crowd in that moment, his mind for them. Verse 6, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? So if I just speak in my personal prayer language, I'm not helping you. But if I do that in my prayer closet, then what will come out of me will be this revelation, this knowledge, this prophesying and teaching that will edify the church. Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. And when that saying speaking into the air means to the other people, when you pray in your prayer language, it's just your tongues aren't helping them, but they're helping you. There are, it may be, many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. So, this verse is confused. Sometimes people might say, well, when your prayer language, your speaking in tongues is a language somewhere on this earth, that you're speaking some language of man on this earth, and God's given you that gift when you pray in tongues, your personal prayer language. That's not what it means. He's simply saying, if I speak in my heavenly language to you, you have no idea what I'm talking about. It's like me going to Brazil and everyone's speaking Portuguese and I'm speaking English and they don't understand me. I don't understand them. It's a foreign language, so it doesn't edify the other person. Anything in a church service must be there to edify the other people. Verse 12, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. So again, not to build yourself up as being looked up as spiritual, but to help build up the church. Everything of the giftings. The giftings are about other people. Ministry is always about helping other people, not about building your kingdom or your reputation. It's about building up other people with what God has put in you. Therefore, let him who speak in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. In a church service, prophecy is the best. Spiritual knowledge, revelation, teaching is the best because you're now edifying others with things that came from God. Or the gift of tongues with an interpretation. So that is the one gift that we know about from this scripture. What's the conclusion then? I'll pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? So Paul here is removing the personal prayer language from the pulpit, saying that's not the time for you to spend time praying in your personal prayer language. That is for your prayer closet, your private time. But the benefits of praying in tongues, the understanding, the knowledge, the revelation, that will come forward in a church service, including tongues with an interpretation. Let's keep reading here. Because now he's going to go into the gift of tongues for the unbeliever. For you indeed give thanks well, but the others is not edified. Verse 17. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. It's better to speak the revelation that comes from tongues, the prophecy that comes forward in a church service, the gift of tongues with interpretation rather than just your personal prayer language. Now he's switching over a little more. Let's keep reading. Verse 20. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, yet in understanding be mature. This is actually an amazing verse, verse 19 and 20. I'll take a little side note here because he's linking together your time in your personal prayer language with how much of God's knowledge you really have. Many Christians in the modern church have an understanding of God through their carnal mind, their carnal man. But the main place that you receive knowledge from God, truth, real knowledge, revelation, teaching material, is from your time praying in the Holy Ghost. And that's why verse 18, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all, yet in the church I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding than I may teach others also with 10,000 words in a tongue. And Pastor Dave always said that he calculated this, and I think it was 2 hours of prayer is 10,000 words in tongues. And so if you want to have 5 words of knowledge that comes from God, you need to spend 2 hours praying in tongues. If you want to have a whole hour of spiritual truth, that's a lot of praying in tongues. But that spiritual truth will be used of God over and over the rest of your life. Pray in tongues. And verse 20, brethren, do not be children in understanding. Don't remain as children in understanding. See, that's what he's telling them. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. Grow up in your knowledge of God by praying in tongues, is what he's saying. In the law it is written, man with men of other tongues and other lips, I'll speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me. And he's quoting a verse out of Isaiah 28. And that's there, it says, line upon line, precept upon precept. That's what happens when you pray in tongues. Now look at verse 22. Here he's starting to explain the gift of tongues as a sign to the unbeliever. Therefore, tongues are for a sign. So this is the gift of tongues. Tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there comes in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? And this is getting more common today. There's a group of people that are great at using YouTube and social media who don't believe that the Holy Spirit speaks to us today, that all you have is the Word of God, and it better be the way they interpret the Word of God, or you're a heretic and going to hell. And they make fun of people who pray in tongues. And yeah, I understand that some of the praying in tongues in church has gone out of hand over the years, but there are people who don't pray in tongues who make fun of Christians who do pray in tongues, and it calls them, that group is uninformed, they're immature. So don't listen to them, because why would you listen to someone who doesn't even practice it, try to instruct you how it works? But these two verses kind of contradict if you don't understand what he's talking about. In verse 22, he says that praying in tongues is a sign to those who are unbelievers. That's verse 22, that praying in tongues is for the unbelievers, a sign to them, but prophecy is for the believers. And then verse 23, he says, if an unbeliever comes into your church and you're all praying in tongues, they'll say you're out of your mind, you're crazy. If I just read this, it sounds like, oh, so praying in tongues is a sign to the unbelievers that I'm crazy. That's not what he's saying. He's making a difference between the gift of tongues for the unbeliever, a sign to the unbeliever, versus your personal prayer language. There is a gift of tongues that can come upon you as the Holy Spirit wills, that is a sign to the unbeliever that God is real. And if you use your personal prayer language in front of an unbeliever, they're going to think you're out of your mind. And I've experienced this, I'm sure you probably have too, where I tried to, my early days, I went to Mexico, and I tried to speak in tongues in front of a non-English speaking, Spanish speaking Mexican person, hoping that they would hear a special message from God. And so I even made it sound kind of Hispanic, you know, Shotara Basata, roll my R's a little extra. And they looked at me like I was, what are you saying? They didn't understand what I was saying. Only tried it once. I learned my lesson quickly. Pastor Dave had a number of times where he was either in a service or on TV when the gift of tongues would come on him. And he would speak a few sentences in a tongue that wasn't normally his prayer language. And found out later from someone in the service or that was watching on TV that he spoke in their home language, a perfect message about God in perfect dialect. That's the gift of tongues for as a sign to the unbeliever. When you show up, you don't speak their language, but yet in the natural, you don't speak their language, but yet God speaks to them personally in their language, and it comes out of your mouth. And what you say is a revelation to them, personal for them. It's an answer to their prayer. It's God speaking to them personally. And because you said it and you don't speak their language, it's a miracle to them. And that's the example we read in Acts. Let's look over in Acts chapter 2. And we'll see this gift of tongues come forward. Verse 1. Acts 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. So divided fire came upon each of them, and they began to speak in their heavenly language, their personal prayer language. They were baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they had the evidence of speaking in tongues. This is their personal prayer language. Understand that every one of them got filled, not only a portion of them, all of them did. The personal prayer language is given to every believer if they want it. God will not hold that back from you. It's for you. It's free. You don't have to be holy. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to pursue it, accept it, receive it. Verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devoted men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galatians? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medians, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Caponia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya, adjoining Syria, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we all hear them speak in our own tongue the wonderful works of God." So they were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" And others mocked, saying they were full of new wine. So there is a question of, were they speaking in the gift of tongues? See, what switched in them is in the upper room, they were all praying together in their personal prayer language. But then when they spilt out into the crowd by the direction of God in their excitement, the Holy Spirit changed their prayer language into the gift of tongues as a sign to the unbeliever. And we can see how all these people, I know I slaughtered some of the names of the countries, but you understood. They understood it in their own personal language. Now, there is a question of, are you speaking it from your mouth in perfect language for them, or are they understanding it in their perfect language? I can't tell you that. But the stories I've heard from Pastor Dave was he actually spoke in the language. It came out of his mouth as perfect Russian one time and perfect French another time. But either way, it's still a miracle. They received it as a sign because what they were saying also was of the wonderful works of God. So that is a sign of to the unbeliever. The rules for that are as different as the rules for a harp is compared to a trumpet. The rules are that your personal prayer language, you pray as often as you want, when you want, as much as you want. And the Holy Spirit, who that's His love to fill you full of knowledge, is there waiting. And that's the amazing part of God, is He's everywhere at all times. I can spend an hour with Him at the same time you spend an hour with Him, and it doesn't diminish Him. He's not like, hurry up, Alan, I got Joe waiting for me, so hurry up, your time is done. Or He doesn't say, only at this time will I have you pray. He's constantly, that's his mission for you, is to help you to grow, mature, develop, to learn, and to be guided by Him. So you choose to pray whenever you want, as much as you want in the Holy Spirit. You're not commanding Him, you're letting Him command you by yielding over to it. He asks you to pray in tongues, so you're giving in to His will, not you're trying to make Him submit to your will. But the gift of tongues for a sign to the unbeliever, that has to be the Holy Spirit's timing, and His wording has to come out of your mouth. That is a gifting. The rules of that are you cannot make that happen. You cannot direct the Holy Spirit to make it happen. He speaks to you, through you, to another person to minister to that person, that unbeliever, as a sign that something amazing is happening here. I have no explanation for how this is possible. God must be real. That is the gift of tongues, a sign for the unbeliever. All right, let's go over to Romans chapter 8. You know, when we're speaking about tongues, we have to go there. Romans chapter 8. And we'll try to describe today the third gift of tongues, which is the tongues for intercession. That is you interceding for other people. Now, it's the same rule under the giftings. It's different. The flute is different than the harp. That you cannot direct your tongues. You never get to really direct your tongues. Even in your personal prayer language, you can direct when you pray in tongues, how long you pray in tongues, but you cannot direct what you pray in your tongues. And so that can be helpful in some ways. When I was starting off praying in tongues, sincerely, my motivation to spend time praying in tongues wasn't to be a holy man of God as much as I was hoping it would help me to receive the blessings of God, a new house, a new car, a strong ministry. So I was falsely motivated to pray in my personal prayer language. And your motivation doesn't even matter why you pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit will take that moment and pray through you His will. And so let's just read a few verses here out of Romans 8. And I'll explain the part of the gift of tongues for intercession. There's not a lot of evidence in Scripture about this, so I'm preaching this as a little bit from Scripture, but also a lot from experience. So I won't swear my life on this. I can only say this is what I believe. Verse 26 of Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So in these two verses, we can kind of put together the idea of your personal prayer language versus the gift of tongues for intercession for somebody else. It has fallen on me a few times, not a lot, but it's fallen on me a few times. So first of all, when we see the personal prayer language, when you spend a couple hours praying in tongues, that the Holy Spirit is making intercession for you, that He is praying His prayer, His perfect prayer for you through your lips. And that's why praying in tongues is so important, because when you say those words, you also give God the permission to answer the prayer because you prayed it. And so that prayer carries your personal authority. You never know what you're praying when you're praying in tongues. You can say, God, I'm going to pray for a new car. We're going to spend 2 hours. I'm tired of driving this old car. We're going to pray 2 hours, Holy Spirit, and I want you to pray in tongues for me for that new car for 2 hours. Shandarabo, shondarabo, sinderebo, sondarobo. Well, he didn't pray for the new car. He probably prayed, Lord, help me to not love you more than I love a new car. You know, so he ignores your direction. You can try to say, God, I'm going to pray for my loved one for 2 hours. And you can pray in tongues, but that won't be intercession. He'll be interceding for you because that is your personal prayer language. The gift of tongues for intercession has to be the Holy Spirit coming upon you and His direction. And basically what happens is there's someone in the world that needs help and they're not praying. God cannot help them. He knows how to help them, but He cannot help them, because they haven't given Him authority or asked them for His help. When you're praying in tongues, one day you're in your prayer closet doing your personal prayer language, and it's happened to me that all of a sudden I'd feel a burden on my heart, almost a compassion or a brokenness or a hurt, and my tongues would change as they come out of my mouth. And for a few moments, a few minutes, sometimes a little longer, I would have a type of groaning, a moment of weepiness, feeling the brokenness of a person. And basically what the Holy Spirit did was say, I have someone over here that's not crying for help. I need someone to give me authority to help them. So there's Alan praying in his prayer closet. The Holy Spirit comes to Alan and says, I'm going to borrow you for half an hour, and we're going to pray for this person over here. 99% of the time, I don't know who I'm praying for. I don't even know what I'm praying for. I can feel it, the hurt they're feeling or the brokenness they're going through. And the Holy Spirit will pray through me for that person. That is the gift of tongues for intercession for that other person. And we can see that in here in verse 27 a little bit. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So there's some scripture to justify that understanding when that intercession comes on you. Now, there's some people, they're intercessors. It happens on them a lot. They go through groanings and prayer. We can intercede for our loved ones in our understanding. I pray often for my family members, and I say their name and I pray for them in my English language. Lord, touch my brother, my sister, touch them now in their life, bless them, help them to find you in their life and follow you in their life. I speak life to their bodies and health to their families. That's intercession. That's me lending my authority in my understanding. The gift of tongues for intercession is not your understanding. You cannot direct it. Sometimes when we're interceding, we're having intercession, which means we have a list of things we're praying for as a group. We might say something like, let's pray in tongues as we pray for this person. If you've got a large group of praying, you know, you don't want anyone just standing around, you know, la la la, looking around. It's okay to pray in tongues while you're praying for a specific topic or a specific person. But that prayer language is not intercession for them. That's just kind of a filler of time until the Holy Spirit maybe says, I want you to pray specifically for this and that. And if you've ever been around some real intercessors, it's really quite an amazing experience. And my first experience was when I was 19, I think, and I went to Barb Billett's house to pray. I asked her to teach me how to pray, and they were interceding, and it shocked me. Like, they were they were going to war. And God was telling them specific things to pray over the government, over the city, over the pastors. The Holy Spirit was telling them, pray for this area. And he was using their authority to break ground and to rescue people. Well, the same thing can happen when you're praying in tongues in your personal prayer language. The gift of tongues for intercession can fall on you. And for me, the way I've experienced that is I'll feel a burden. I'll feel a hurt or a brokenness. I'll feel what that person is feeling and what the Holy Ghost is trying to rescue them from. Maybe sometimes it's hopelessness. And it's on me. It stays there as I pray in tongues. And when I'm praying in tongues, it changes to where I'm praying a perfect prayer for that person, and God's using my authority. And when that burden lifts and I get a breakthrough, that's when it stops. And I go back to my personal prayer language. So there's the three gifts of tongues from Scripture that are available for the church as the Holy Spirit chooses and wills. And then the fourth type of tongue is your personal prayer language. It's not a gift like a calling for the church. It's a gift. It's free, but it's not a gifting. It is a personal. It's a personal given to you, personally available to each person for free, if they choose, and you can pray as much as you want when you want, and you're allowing the Holy Spirit to intercede for your own life. We've learned that it shares the knowledge of God, the truth of God. You pray out the perfect will for your future. Pastor Dave always said, if you want to see a Picasso of the devil's ability to deceive the church, the greatest painting, the greatest achievement the devil has ever done in the church to deceive the church world is to diminish the power of your personal prayer language in the Holy Spirit. And we want to bring that back into the church world. We want to help the world, the Christians, to see the value of it, to understand from Scripture the importance of it, and to see what God has for them isn't available, won't be accomplished in the natural. It must be accomplished in their spiritual man. Praying in tongues is your greatest tool, reading your word, worshiping God, and throwing some fasting, and you are on a great course to changing the world. I love you. Thank you for spending time with me. I'll see you again soon. God bless you.